Thanks for listening to Schlereth & Evans On Demand, presented by Bathfitter. Hey guys, if you drop the ball when it comes to your bath or shower remodel, Bathfitter doesn't just fit your bath, they fit your budget and schedule. Bathfitter will install a tub or shower in just one day. Bathfitter's price guarantee is a slam dunk. Bathfitter, it just fits.
Territory. As Stick and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
You know, Mark, I find this stadium survey that went out to all the season ticket holders from the new ownership group, just kind of gauging interest in, you know, what would you be interested in? What would you like? How far would you travel to a game? How do you feel about personal seat licenses? The fact that this is coming out so soon after the team was bought by the Walton Pinner Group, yeah, I know they're talking about pumping $100 million into improvements and upgrades at the current stadium, but the fact that this has already gone out, what does that tell you? What's the timetable are we looking at here for the potential of a new stadium?
It tells me that they're discussing it, right? So it tells me that they're going to get all that information here in the next year or so and make a decision. And doesn't it feel like, I mean, they'll break the ground before the lease is up, but I'm not talking about, hey, in year eight of the lease, they'll break. It feels like they're going to break ground in the next 3 to 5 years. Does it not?
Yes. I think that they'll honor the current lease, which I think has a solid 9 years left on it, but to put together something of this scope, and I've always thought this group was going to go big when it comes to the next stadium, whatever it is, whatever the project, it's going to be big. That's something that takes years to plan, years to plan. So I think you're going to start seeing the planning start almost immediately with the idea that, you got a shovel in the ground, you got Mark's silver shovel in the ground in about 5 years, and that thing opens up just about the time the new lease ends. So, or the old lease ends.
That'd be my one request. If I haven't just keeled over dead by the time they're ready to break ground, could I be the guy with the hard hat and the silver helmet?
Sure.
The hard hat and the silver shovel. Can you guys bring me along?
Dude, you're not keeling over anytime soon. You got pool-sized jeans, man. You got pool-sized jeans. You're good.
Poolside is a freaking stud.
You know, now that you're eating chicken sausage instead of real sausage,
right.
You're gonna live forever.
Right. Just on a straight chicken sausage diet.
Second down.
The Broncos made a move, bringing in Tony Jones Jr. He was drafted by Sean Payton in New Orleans and spent 3 years there with the Saints. Was with Seattle last year. I mean, this is like your fifth running back. This is somebody that you turn to only in a case of emergency, more of a depth guy, special teams guy. So, but another guy that comes from the Sean Payton tree, if you will. And do you like that? Do you like the idea that you're seeing people here with Saints ties?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's always about when you're starting, you know, when you're starting fresh with a new organization, you want to implement your culture, your systems, and you want a couple of guys. I mean, it's such right out of the script, right out of the pages of the Bill Parcells taking over an organization, you know, script. And bring your guys in to help implement your culture, that know your system, that basically can help all the other players kind of understand it. I just think it's perfect.
Third down.
And number four seed Cornell knocks off the number one seed, the defending national champion, DU Pioneers. 2-0 the final. Cornell gets two goals in the first, and they hang on to win it by that same score. And for two consecutive games to end the season, the Pioneers unable to generate a goal.
Jay Stickney with the call on 104.3 HD3 as the Pioneers. And let that, you know, kind of be a sober reminder to Avalanche fans. It's hard to repeat, and you know, even a team like DU, who has a tremendous season, ranked number one most of the year, All it takes is a slump at the wrong time. Right. They got shut out by Colorado College in the conference tournament 1-0, and they turn around and get beat yesterday 2-0. And the good news for the Avs is that you're talking about a best 4 out of 7. It's not single elimination, lose and go home.
That's why it's easier to win a Stanley Cup championship than it is a Super Bowl championship, because it's, you know, man, it's one and done, just like it is in college hockey. Come on. I mean, if they got into a best 4 out of 7 in college hockey. Now, maybe if they got a best 4 out of 7, the two teams did a debate, because it's Cornell, a bunch of smart kids there, too.
Sure.
So, you know, maybe a debate. Maybe they lose that one, you know, 4-3. But in hockey, come on. If they got a best 4 out of 7, they'd win. It'd be 4-2. But they just got the wrong nut.
Yeah,
wrong nut.
You're probably right. No, you're probably right about that. That is a key distinction. It's one of the reasons why I continue to make the case for the Avalanche getting back to the Stanley Cup Finals, is that I just don't see a team in the West that can beat this team 4 times. That's really what it comes down to. That's the biggest case I make for the Avs, is that point to the team out there in the West that you think in a 7-game series is going to beat this team 4 times. I just don't see it.
1, 2, 3.
Fourth down.
Tyrone Tang sets it up. Going for the wall.
Keontae Johnson on the receiving end.
So, great call yesterday. Great game. That's why you watch sports. That's those games like Kansas State and Michigan State, Gonzaga and UCLA. That's why sports remains the greatest unscripted reality show out there, because that Kansas State, Michigan State game, that was, I was just, I'm on the couch watch. I don't have a rooting interest. You know, I'm just a college basketball fan. And Mark, there had to be like 6 or 7 times I just came off my couch just like, what a pass, what a move, what a game, you know, that kind of stuff. It was awesome. It was just awesome.
Did you really come off your couch?
I didn't come off my couch, but I did. Right. I did yell.
That was a bit hyperbole.
You're right. I apologize. I apologize. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I did not come off the couch. But there were at least 4 instances where my 2-year-old puppy Lulu was just laying peacefully at my feet, and I scared her so much that she jumped up and looked around wondering what was going on, because Papa, Daddy, was so impressed by the basketball game.
Yes, yes, yes. Lulu got a little nervous.
Yeah, like, what's going on?
She's like, what is this? I live with a crazy man. What is this?
What's going on?
Yeah.
What did I do?
Right.
You're right. You know. So, no, that was great. That was fun stuff.
It was.
Great start to Sweet 16, and we'll hear from Crying Tom Izzo. I know you're a big Tom Izzo fan, but coming up in What's Trending at 7:30, we're going to hear from Tom Izzo. Not a good look from Tom Izzo. He did not come across as a graceful loser last night. Let's just say that. We'll have that for you coming up at 7:30. That is 4 Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Up next, the best of Is It Just Me Friday. Get those hot takes to us. Plenty of humor, plenty of opinion, plenty of snark next.
When the day is done, the game is over, and you need a break from all the stress. Relax in your tub or shower from Bathfitter. Bathfitter will fit your budget with a price match guarantee. No money down, no payments for up to 5 years. Get the ball rolling. Visit bathfitter.com today.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Well, it's been quite the Friday already on this Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get those hot sports takes off your chest. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. If you are truly what you eat, then Mark is chicken. As we learned that Mark in L.A. right now went out to breakfast and enjoyed himself chicken sausage.
That's right.
My, how the mighty have fallen.
Well, you know, I did think a little bit about Marilat while I was eating that.
chicken sausage. We got to get you back to Colorado fast.
They didn't have sausage. Sausage. How can you not have sausage? Sausage.
Right?
By the way, the other thing they didn't have, and it's just so disappointing that so many breakfast restaurants don't have corned beef hash. It's not a problem at Sam's Number 3.
Nope.
I housed I mean, I housed that corned beef.
Not only that, but you asked, they asked you, do you want it this way or that way?
Right.
So they had options.
Right. They have the canned hash, which I'm fine with the canned hash as long as you put a crisp, like, you know, you crisp the outside, like, to the point where it's, like, caramelized almost, you know? Like, I like that. But then they have the scratch. And anybody who serves scratch corned beef hash, I'm in. It doesn't matter. If that's on your menu, I'm ordering it. Just is going to happen.
Here's one on this Is It Just Me Friday. Is it just me or Evans, you're walking around with your head in the clouds, not seeing that the Nuggets are doomed come playoff time? All their fatal flaws have been exposed.
Wow. Yeah.
They went 3-2 on a 5-game road trip near the end of the season. Remember last year, the Avalanche were cruising all season long? And remember they went on that road trip late in the year? I think it was through Seattle, Vancouver, Edmonton, Winnipeg, whatever. It was like 3 or 4 games, and they lost all of them, and they looked flat.
They lost six out of their last seven,
and it caused poor Brandon Stokely to, you know, freak out, and his panic meter went to 11 on a scale of 10 and all that stuff. And it was, what did I say at the point last year? I'm like, look, this team, at this point, they know how good they are. They know what they have. They know what they are. The last thing they want to deal with is a road trip this late in the season. Just get it over with, man. And I think that was the same thing with the Nuggets. And so instead of looking at it as a negative, I actually choose to look at it as a positive that on that road trip, they scratched out a winning road trip, 3-2. And the last game, you play on a Sunday afternoon, you sit around for 2.5 days, and then you go out and play the crappy Washington Wizards. And you play a lousy first half. If ever there is an excuse, I guess, to let go of the rope and just say, what's the difference between 3-2, 2-3? Let's just get back home. Mm-hmm. Instead, they came out. Jamal Murray took some leadership and talked at halftime. They come out with a 39-16 third quarter and go on to win the basketball game and come home feeling good about themselves. I'm completely disagree with that texture. That I look at it actually much more as a positive than a negative.
Well, I mean, I would tell you, Mike, and I get it. I get what you're saying, but the part of the texture that is right is there are some fatal flaws that have been exposed that now can somebody exploit those fatal flaws for 4 of 7 games without the Nuggets, you know, without the Nuggets being able to kind of impose their will? I don't know, but I've told you, man, my worry meter is up to a 6 simply because there are those fatal flaws that I get very concerned about.
Oh, wait a minute, hold on. Can I just jump in then, please? Yeah. Please continue on. There's a difference between flaws and fatal flaws. Everybody's got flaws. Every team has flaws.
Right.
What do you think are the fatal flaws?
Well, I think the athleticism aspect of other teams compared to the Nuggets is significant. Now, you still got to knock down shots and you still got to do all those things, but you can get into a game where, or you can get into a series against a team where they just run more athletes out than you, and they play that spread, take it to the 10, or knock down shots when you start sloughing on defense, where defensively you're challenged. And I will tell you, then the kind of complementary nature to that is offensively you just don't play as well. Like, you get so tired on the defensive end that you just start losing your legs and losing your shot on the offensive end. Like, those, when teams play them that way, they struggle. And bad teams will play them that way, and they'll struggle a little bit. So that would be the fatal flaw to me. Does it, if that makes sense?
Here's another one for you. Is Chris Bryant the Russ Wilson of the Rockies? Is it just me, or should the Rockies be telling Chris Bryant he's playing third base?
Does he need to play third base?
Value. That if you're paying this guy that much money, and he's supposed to be the best player on your team, sticking him in left field doesn't bring as much value as if you have him playing third base, for example. And I think it's a fair point to bring up because ESPN did their top 100 players, much like the NFL Network does their top 100 mm-hmm. players in the NFL, and we always mm-hmm. digest that every summer, right? Oh, right. You know, the Broncos only got this guy, or he was ranked here. Why was he not ranked higher? Not one Rocky on the top 100 player list in MLB. Not one. Now, if they have one that's capable, it's Chris Bryant. So, shouldn't your best player, if he can play third base, shouldn't he be playing third base instead of left field?
Well, I think that's the big question. Can he play third base anymore? I mean, is he a liability at third base? I mean, I know he's a liability in the outfield, but at least you hide him out there. I don't know.
Ask Cubby fan out there. I thought Chris Bryant was a pretty good third baseman.
Yeah, well, back when he was young, but I think there's still. I mean, he's not Schwarber in the outfield, but he's
Schwab.
He's better than Schwab.
Schwaba. Thank God that guy can hit.
McMahon, that dude defensively is phenomenal. He'll play third. He'll play second. He'll play first. Like that dude should be. If he was just more consistent at the dish, shouldn't he be a top 100 player?
Yes. He should be. Yeah. But hey, the kids are coming, you know. Just be patient. Listen, Rocky fan, I know you've been patient for over 30 years now, but just be patient a little bit more, cuz let me tell you. This next crop of kids coming up through the minors.
Tonight it didn't happen.
Oh man, this time they mean it.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's going to be a big time.
But keep coming to the ballpark, though. Okay, keep coming to the ballpark because you want to see these guys now when they're young and fresh, and you'll be able to sit back here years from now and say, I remember when I saw that kid break in as a fresh-faced rookie. Now it's all paying off. Yeah. Remember Todd and the Toddlers, everybody? Now it's Chris and the kids. That's... nothing's changed except the saying, right? And instead mm-hmm. of the marketing logo, the marketing pitch, it used to be Todd and the Toddlers. Now it's Chris and the kids, and you know how these youth movements tend to work out. What's trending? Oh, Tom Izzo, say it ain't so. Win with some class or lose with some class, my man. That's next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Well, it's not a matter of if, but when the new Bronco ownership builds a state-of-the-art stadium. This is not going to just simply be throwing $100 million here, $100 million there to come, refurbish the existing stadium. They're eventually going to do something big. And how big? Well, at least at the start, the season ticket holders get a say in it as they received a survey from the new ownership group asking them their thoughts on a number of different subjects as to where you would like to see a new stadium located. How far would you be willing to travel to that new stadium? What are some of the amenities that matter most to you in a new stadium? Are you all for a mixed-use stadium, a retractable roof, a dome? All those kind of questions that went out to ownership. So went from ownership to season ticket holders. So, Mark, are you excited about the idea of a new state-of-the-art stadium, or do you still have a certain amount of nostalgia towards keeping it right where it is?
No, there's zero nostalgia. I'm all for a new stadium. I'm all for a retractable roof. I want Denver, Colorado to get celebrated. I want the combine here. I want a Super Bowl here. I want to see a Final Four here. I want what other, organizations have. So, yeah, no, I'm all in. Let's do the multi-use, retractable roof. Let's do the whole thing.
I'm with you. Go big. Let's make it an entertainment mecca.
Yeah.
Not only for football, but for year-round entertainment, all the big events. Let's do it. Bigger the better. So, Tom Izzo had an entire week where he got his flowers. People talking about him as Mr. March. him telling people that, hey, I always tell my players, you win the first game, I'll win the second game for you. I mean, this guy, I love Tom Izzo, but man, he loves himself some Tom Izzo when things are going well. When things don't go well, like after losing a classic last night to Kansas State, Tom Izzo didn't exactly win with class.
Yeah, I'm so proud of these guys for a lot of reasons. I mean, give them credit. I mean, they banked in two shot clock threes. There were, and they made some big plays, but some of those plays weren't big plays. They were lucky plays. And I didn't think we played our best. I think some of it was them. I think some of it was us.
Oh, he threw the lucky card out there.
Mm-hmm.
They got lucky.
Mm-hmm.
They got lucky. He wasn't done. He wasn't done. Then during his post-game press conference, he talked about, it's the Big Ten, man, the Big Ten. It's so hard.
No matter what anybody says, top to bottom, I have no problem standing up and saying we're the best league in the country. You know, when you have that number of teams beating the hell out of each other every day, I don't think we're worn out from it. I just think you get a bad seed from it. So we had all these teams with 7, 8, 9 seeds. And I'm not saying that was wrong, but that's what happens when I like to see some teams come in and survive this league in the places we play.
Oh, jeez.
Well, just move.
Oh.
Really? Yeah. Is that the card we're playing now? Come on.
Yeah, that was pathetic.
Soft.
That was truly
the Big Ten got 8 bids. 8.
Mm-hmm.
One team made it to the Sweet 16. 0 made it to the Elite 8. But hey, they were too tired. Teams were too beat up.
It was too tough. You know what? You know Poolside say to Tom Izzo.
What would Poolside, your dad, say to Tom Izzo?
He would say, "Hey Tom, luck has a smell of perspiration." That's what he'd say.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, on this Is It Just Me Friday, is it just me or has anybody checked in on Richie Carney this morning out there in Vegas with the Players Club?
Ooh.
Huge Michigan State fan.
Mm.
Yeah. Although, is it just me or if there is one place on this planet you'd rather be when your school loses a heartbreaker like that, I can't think of a better place in Vegas.
He's got a point.
That is a good, you can go back to your room, you can cry big crocodile tears for a little while, and then you can come right back down, and,
I'm drunk.
Yeah. Have another.
Just drown your sorrows.
Right. Not that I suggest drowning sorrows, but.
It's same. Okay, everyone.
I'm drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, you got to just...
Richie, you know Richie's hammered.
Oh, yeah, just, I don't know. You might...
Poor little fella.
Has he checked in yet for their show coming up in a little over an hour? Hasn't checked in yet? No?
No.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that.
Just moping. He probably just went... He just walked up and down. Like, there's nothing more. You've lost your money. You've lost your word. You've lost your team. You're drunk. And you're just stumbling down the strip. People are hooting and hollering, and meanwhile, poor Richie Carney is just wandering around, tear in his eye. Like, he's the kind of, that's the kind of show that you make a commercial out of, you know?
Yes,
where
right.
You just, like, you just use this sympathy. It's like when they show you that the commercial with all those dogs, you know, and you're just
geez.
Like, I can't even watch. This
has really deteriorated. You're
yeah.
saying, I mean, that is the saddest stuff ever. I have to turn the channel. I mean, that is just, but you're comparing Richie to these dogs?
Yeah. Does anybody actually donate to those dogs?
God, I hope so.
But I can't even get through.
I can't get
through. As
soon
as I see it, I got to turn the channel.
I know.
I get too emotional.
I know.
What Richie looks like walking down the strip right now, trying to find the hotel. What hotel are they staying at?
The circus, right? Yeah. I can just see the soundtrack surrounding Richie. Won't you please help?
Won't you please?
For just 10 cents a day.
Right. Just 12 cents a day. You can help Sparty get over his disappointment.
This is sad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too good. Mark. Who is Ken Francis?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. And that is probably what a lot of NFL teams are asking. Who is Ken Francis? Ken Francis is a buddy of Lamar Jackson. He is not a certified representative in the eyes of the NFL or the NFLPA.
Mm-hmm.
And NFL teams are being warned not to deal with Ken Francis, who apparently has been reaching out on Lamar Jackson's behalf to try to drum up interest in Lamar Jackson.
It's spicy.
Really?
Ken Francis.
Good old Ken Francis. That's where we are right now. Hey, this is Ken Francis. Who? Yeah. Lamar's my friend.
I got the letter here. This is the letter.
Oh, the
NFLPA has informed us that a person by the name of Ken Francis, who is not an NFLPA certified agent, may be contacting clubs and attempting to persuade club personnel to enter into negotiations with or concerning Lamar Jackson. As an uncertified person, Mr. Francis is prohibited from negotiating.
What? So, I mean, how does that
work? Violation of this rule may result in disapproval of any offer sheet or resulting player contract entered into by Mr. Jackson in the new club. There's some good legal speak right there.
Right. That is, I mean, if there's ever been, like, there's other guys, like, Laremy Tunsil's been negotiating his own contracts. He's done a phenomenal job for himself. But if there's ever been kind of just a case study on why you should probably hire an agent, this is the one. Okay, now I'm having my buddy reach out on my behalf. Not a good look, Mike.
One last, is it just me before we head to break? Yeah. Is it just me, or should Nate, Orlando, and everyone out there be worried that they're going to find Richie on top of a roof later on this weekend? Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
He'll probably be missing for at least 2 days before they find him.
Richie is classic hangover material right now. That is what is trending. Is it just me? Friday rolls on.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Okay, is it just me Friday as we give you a chance to, well, just, it's a Friday. And typically at this time on a Friday, 7:45, that's where we start to get loose. And
yes.
So Mark, looking forward to being able to go out to breakfast soon after the show's over, get some more chicken sausage. Very excited. Maybe are you going to be getting a crepe?
Is that your dog?
Are you going to be getting a crepe?
Yeah. Does your dog bite?
Are you going to have crepes and chicken sausage this morning?
Think of it. This is my order.
In Los Angeles?
This is my order. Like, they got the menu is just, you know, they got special stuff, right? I go, I just want a la carte, 3 eggs over medium, bacon, and chicken sausage. Boom. Just meat, and egg.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Oh, you know you'll have
potatoes, sourdough toast. Yeah. No. I don't want, no. Hash browns, no. No. Fruit bowl, get out of here with that garbage.
Is it just me or is Tom Izzo turkey bacon? By the way, for those of you who are wondering, we have a new addition to the show here. So yesterday, one of our great listeners, longtime listener, James in Lexington, mentioned how he had cooked up 4 pieces of bacon, but that his wife took 3 of them.
Right.
He immediately got lambasted by you fellow listeners who just went after him. Like, what are you doing? Why are you only cooking up 4 pieces of bacon in the first place? Right. Yeah. And so while establishing the power and the greatness of bacon, we've now decided to create, much like your milk scale, which goes what?
Oh, it goes like whipping cream, like, and then you go half and half whole milk. Well, probably it's more like half and half whole milk, 2% skim.
Right. Nobody wants to be skim.
No.
So we've established a new bacon scale, so that if you're doing it right,
right,
and you sit down and you got like one of those breakfast buffets, how many pieces of bacon are you eating? What would you say the average guy out there will eat? If he's at a breakfast buffet, unlimited bacon, how many pieces will he eat?
At least six.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a new bacon scale, 1 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, if you are compared to turkey bacon, that is not good.
No, it is not good. It is not
so good. So Tom Izzo got the turkey bacon designation.
Boy, there was some big time excuses there, right?
Right.
It's just to talk about the calling the whambulance. Gosh. Anyhow.
Yeah, that's not good. All right, here we go. Is it just me or Sean Payton looking for good football players who can play wide receiver, not good wide receivers who play football?
Yeah. It's the whole athlete versus football player. I want football players. Like football is really easy for football players. It's really hard for athletes. And, you know, I mean, he wants that guy wants football players. And he wants them at every position. And it's one of my philosophical beliefs. And there's a difference. You know, it's kind of the old, I want a quarterback that's athletic. I don't necessarily want an athletic athlete who they make a quarterback. And that's the way a lot of football has become, because it's just easier at the high school level and the college level to win putting your best athlete at the quarterback position and then having him run around and throw it occasionally, you know, single coverage and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't necessarily, or it hasn't as of yet, equated to Super Bowl championship caliber player.
But don't you feel that's the way we're going? That teams are realizing now more and more the futility or the extraordinarily long odds of finding that 15-year guy. And now it's more, hey, if we can find a guy that can be an athlete, be exciting, and we can win football games with him. And, sure. Hey, maybe he's going to get hit a lot. Maybe he'll get hurt. And maybe only has about a 6 or 7 year shelf life, but it's easier to find those guys than it is to find 15-year guys. Are we going to see more of that? If it sure feels like that, because that's what the college game is giving us.
Right. No, but that was the point I was going to make, is that we're going to see more and more and more of it, simply because that's all we're getting. I mean, that's what's coming out of college, and then when you do get that guy, you know, that, whether it's Young or whether it's, you know, whether it's Stroud, when you get that guy that is an exceptional athlete, but more importantly, he's a really good football player, right? He's a really good quarterback that happens to be exceptionally athletic. That's when you have a chance to be really good. But you're going to get more and more of that. Eventually, one of those guys is going to win a Super Bowl, because that's what college is, like you said, that's what they're producing, and that's what the majority of the league will be made up of.
So the identity of this Denver Bronco team under Sean Payton will be what?
Oh, they're going to run the ball. They may use multiple backs to run the ball. But
X's and O's. I'm not even talking about X's and O's. So what kind of player are we looking at?
I'm talking about like hard nosed, really good football players, and I'm not talking about lining up and out athleting, you know, being more athletic than, like, yeah, I want super athletic players, yeah, but I want great players. I mean, hard nosed, control lines of scrimmage football team. That's what you're gonna get.
Sean Payton would never draft Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler in the first two rounds, would he?
Never. Never. I mean, you and I were on this station when people were going goo-goo over speed and talent, and you and I were, like, just stupid. Like, that's just dumb. You see K.J. Hamler towards Peck now?
Yeah. But that... is that just unlucky? I mean, we've seen... I mean, to me, that's just an unlucky guy. There have been plenty of tough football players who are small, diminutive, and they're still tough. I don't want to come down too hard on KJ Hamler. The guy just unfortunately just has the injury bug. He works hard. He's trying hard. He wants to do the right thing. He just his body's betraying him.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. That part is snake bit. But I mean, from the time they drafted him, I told you, man, I wouldn't draft him. I don't draft track guys. I don't need a track guy. Track guys are so tightly wound that they get hurt all the time. That's just been my experience. But and that one's an unfortunate one, Mike. But come on, that dude has had hamstrings and quads and ACLs and like, dude, he's never available ever. Oh, but he can run fast. Great. That's super. Love it. Doesn't help us.
But you can find track stars. Tyreek Hill is a track star. He's been reliable.
Well, Tyreek Hill's a freaking football player, though.
Is he?
Tyreek Hill. Oh, yeah. That dude's a little beast. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, I look at him like, again, and maybe I'm splitting hairs, but I've just seen too many guys that they're top quality. Like, he can, like, that dude can flat out run, right? But his short range quickness, his in and out of breaks, and then the other thing is, Tyreek Hill's got thickness to him, right? He's got body strength to him. He's not your typical skinny track star.
Yeah, he's not thoroughbred, right? Yeah,
His biggest attribute, yeah, is the top end speed is great, but his biggest attribute is short range, mobility and quickness. He's instantly open, and then he's just got some girth to him, man.
Now, is it just me? Is it just me, Friday? Is it just me, you guys? Here's a different look on your bacon scale. Instead of just doing it 1 through 6, you got to attach names. So here's the new bacon scale. Pork belly, thick cut, regular, turkey bacon. So the turkey bacon is the skim.
Right.
The regular is like the 2%.
Mm-hmm.
Thick cut, that's whole milk.
Yeah.
And then pork belly.
Right.
That's the heavy whipping cream. Or as you said earlier, somebody pointed out, I didn't say anything, but you said it. You said whooping cream.
Whooping, yeah.
Whooping cream. What's whooping cream?
That's the next level. That's like you take what's worse, an ass whipping or an ass whooping?
Good point.
An ass whooping is way
worse.
You take it as whooping, that's the kind of thing where you just stay in your room for 2 days.
Right.
Doing one of those things, you know, where that.
What happened to you? I got my ass whipped, you know, versus I got my ass whooped. I mean, you're right. It's just different.
Yeah, there's a whole different, like, an ass whooping, you're back out playing with your kids or with your buddies, you know, 15 minutes later. Ass whooping is where you get that snot bubble that goes out and in every time you breathe out of your nose, you know. Right? That's an ass whooping.
That is true. That is true. Absolutely.
So whooping, like whooping cream.
Whooping cream.
Way thicker than just whipping cream.
Hey, coming up next Thursday, we're going to be holding a very special fan VIP event where you can mingle with us, the fan hosts, and catch an exclusive early screening of Air. The movie doesn't open in theaters until April 5th, but you can see it early and have a great time hanging out with us, all your favorite and maybe not so favorite fan hosts, but maybe this could be a makeup night. Myself, Stank, Nate, Zach, D-Mac, Derek, just to name a few who will be there. We're giving away 4 VIP seats to the event right now to caller number 4, 303-713-1043, 303-713-1043. And I'm hearing great things about this movie, Mark. It's getting very good early returns. So much so that I'm confident you will not fall asleep in this movie like you did the recent Batman movie.
Well, I just hope that at some point in the movie, Ben Affleck says to Matt Damon, let's go to Hobbit and beat up some Spat Kids.
Well, since the movie's going to be set in Oregon, I'm not sure that'll happen.
That'll be disappointing. That will be disappointing.
But, yeah, so it'll be, I'm counting on the screen being lit up lighter than it was in Gotham. That there won't be as much rain in Oregon
It does rain in Oregon.
Yes.
You would think that Oregon would have a chance to be a super, you know, super wet, but not like Gotham.
Gotham was wet.
Yo.
It rained a lot in Gotham. I cannot imagine what their rain-making machine budget was.
Oh, my gosh. Could you? Yeah, right? Because it doesn't rain anywhere like that, unless you built a city in the middle of a rainforest. But even a rainforest, that place is way wetter than a rainforest.
Is it just me, or there goes Stink generalizing again? What about Russell Wilson, who won a Super Bowl? He was athletic at the time. What about Steve Young, who was athletic, that won a Super Bowl? Those are just two, but there are others. That texture's missing one key distinction.
Those guys were quarterbacks first. That happen to be great athletes. If you listen to what I said, I don't want an athlete that they make into a quarterback. I want a quarterback that happens to be great, like an unbelievable athlete. Like there's a huge difference there, Texter. Obviously, you just you're not paying attention.
Well, Steve Young, and here's the thing about Steve Young that you're not paying attention to. Steve Young came out of college, was a running quarterback. He ran all the time, and it's why he ended up behind Joe Montana for so many years in San Francisco. But when given his chance, what did he become? He became a multiple NFL passing leader. He became a terrific passer. He won passing titles. So he wasn't just a quarterback who could run. He became a quarterback who could dominate and win from the pocket. Same thing with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson did not become the quarterback that we erroneously thought he was going to be and still hope he can still be without proving that he could win from the pocket. When did he become at the time it was $30 million was the sort of the exclusive club to be in for quarterbacks was the $30 million club. When did he join that $30 million club? When he started throwing 34 touchdowns in 2015, 34 in 2017, 35 in 2018. These quarterbacks that, and the distinction you're making is that it's great that they can run around. It's great that they can make plays with their legs. But if they're going to truly be your answer long term, beyond just 6 or 7 years, and if they're going to get the contract, see Lamar Jackson, that they want, then you got to prove that you are a consistent, dominant passer from the quarterback. From the pocket.
Right. I think the other thing is, in regards to Steve Young, was a scrambler. He wasn't, like, BYU threw the heck out of the ball back in those days. You know, you look at, you know, Steve Young and Jim McMahon and, you know, Robbie Bosco and all the different dudes that came out of BYU at the time. Like, that was a throw the football all over the place. But Steve Young was an exceptional athlete who scrambled a lot. When things broke down, he just took off and scrambled. It wasn't, hey, I'm a designed, you know, quarterback counter guy. That's not how it worked. So, like, to me, there's a big difference there. And he didn't really reach his potential because, remember, he got drafted by the USFL. He went to the LA Express first. Then he went to Tampa Bay. Then he came to San Francisco. And he had to sit behind Joe Montana and really learn, like continue to learn the passing game. A big difference. He was groomed to be a quarterback who happened to be exceptional at scrambling and when things broke down.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
When your team is in hot water and you need a break from the play-by-play, Bath Fitter can install your tub or shower in just one day. And just like a coach, Bath Fitter is in your corner offering a watertight, seamless wall. A design consultant will take accurate measurements of your tub or shower and recommend the products that fit your budget. Bath Fitter has special financing available with no money down and no interest for up to 5 years. Now that's a game changer. Visit bathfitter.com to book your in-home consultation. Bath Fitter, it just fits.